Hey, how you guys doing? It's the producer from Brothers Comics. Welcome to, I guess, the Marvel Hacks. This is our X-Men 97 recap. It premiered on Wednesday. We're just catching up to get a chance to record our recap here. Online is Brother Beaver. Say what's happening to me.
Hey, what's up?
So I kind of wanted to go over this because this was something that I was thinking before we get into it, and we'll talk about the episode and all of its highlights or whatever. I kind of wanted to talk about this. Would you say in the 7+ years we've been doing this, we're fair, right? Wouldn't you say we're nerds and we pick at shit, but we're fair.
Well, I would agree with that. There are certainly stuff we have where our bias either creeps in or creeps out, you know, to a varying degree. But in general, I think we don't hate things because of, you know, some outside reason. But right. we do tend to look for the things that we hate. So,
and then we're not people that get on here and it's like, well, back in our day, this was so much better and this is so much better. And in fact, I would say we have gone out of our way to uncover stuff that we thought was cool when we were young and poked sticks at it to be like, yeah, you know what? This was probably okay at the time, but and, you know, with 2024 eyes or whatever, it's not cool. Would that be fair?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
We've actively avoided revisiting those things because we know it's going to be bad.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So
Thundercats, I'm looking at you.
Yeah. So with all of that being said, X-Men 97, 2 episodes in, this is a fantastic cartoon. We talk a lot about fan service, good and bad. We talk a lot about remaking things that didn't need to be remade. Before we get into the specifics, as a general whole here, these 2 episodes were absolutely fantastic. And it was retro fanning done properly. Would that be fair?
No, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Again, I guess in a top-down looking thing, you could start to micro, like, pick at it and maybe find some stuff that you weren't okay with. But we had talked about before it premiered, it was like, well, who's the audience for this? Because this shit went off the air a long time ago. So people that grew up on it are full tax-paying adults. So who is the show geared towards? You know, are you gearing towards this 35 and above crowd that would have grown up on the original, or were you going to try to gear it down towards little kids to get, you know, new viewers or whatever? And they definitely lean towards the older crowd. Would that be fair too?
I think so. But by the same token, if you compare this to the What If series, I mean, this is a much more entertaining show so far than What If. So like, I'm not sure, like, I mean, because to me, What If was aimed at primarily the MCU / comic book fan to see some of the crossover and some of the stuff that might have been teased or whatever, and some new kind of edge stories of the main line. I mean, I think that was more like, that was probably more targeted to people that were already looking for it. Whereas I think you're right in that the primary audience is for the people who loved this as a show in the 90s. But I think it's been made to where, I think it has much broader appeal if you watch it, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, and I guess it does have a good jump on point, but I mean, you really need to have seen the original or at a minimum be familiar with it for it to make any freaking sense.
I mean, they certainly don't prop you up at all, but no. You know, there was never a lot of, I mean, even in the first movie, there's never a lot of X-Men origin because it's just they were born this way. They're different. People hate them. I mean, it's just such a concise, like, you know, mission statement or whatever. You can just kind of pick up from the jump. So, and I think that holds here. Like, you know, obviously they're going to get into the backstory of individuals at some kind of pace, which is what they did in the first run. But I don't know, you don't need a whole lot. Now, you know, it's hard for me to know what the general awareness of the X-Men is because it's been, you know, I've been steeped in it for so long.
Yeah.
But I mean, don't, like nobody knew who the Avengers were, and everybody was willing to ride that train. So, like, yeah. Do people even know who the X-Men are?
Yeah. I mean, and this is a different conversation and a different podcast at some point in time about where they are comic book wise in 1997, which we've been recapping, and currently, because, you know, it's really kind of all over the place. But I think people need to understand that just slapping X-Men 97 on this, much like they tried to do X-Men Blue and Gold 5-6 years ago in the comic books, like, you could really have messed this up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
a good example, because X-Men Blue and Gold Modern was nothing like what we were ready for.
Yeah. So they could have messed this up royally. And it seems like they took the pains to make sure that it was, is a dirty word, sometimes an homage,
mm-hmm.
but also, you know, kind of, you know, not leaning so far into it that it's just like a recap of what we actually saw 20 plus years ago. So, all right, let's get into it. So episode one is called To Me, My X-Men. First off, what did you think of the new intro, which is really the old intro, but new?
Right. I mean, all signs had suggested they would go back to it, and it is remixed. And I'm assuming you're familiar with the lawsuit.
No.
Yeah. So I think it was a Hungarian cop show or something called Linda. I may have the country of origin name, but they ripped it was either unintentional or intentional. The intro music existed before the X-Men. No. and there was a lawsuit, and the guy, I guess, who composed it for the cartoon was ultimately written out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Saban and Marvel at the time were still named it, and there was a payoff. Mm-hmm. So I think the general, like, I don't know if they felt now compelled to remix it some to avoid having to pay royalties, or mm-hmm. they just wanted to freshen it up or whatever, but it still has the same thing that we've had running in through our heads for like 30 years now.
Right. So. Yeah. Two things. One, so this is Taylor's version. two,
I get that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It lives in my house. Two, the idea that they give you the option of skipping the intro is just hilarious.
We never skip the intro.
Who is skipping the X-Men intro? Like, I mean, it's just pointless, but it's very good. And then at the end of on the intro of episode two, you get the Phoenix like kind of effect like there. And then I texted that y'all yesterday, but I guess maybe I just missed it the first time. Like, Morph's intro. Mm-hmm. You know, kind of ties right into Sinister. Yeah. So that, I mean, again, a nice throwback as well. So, all right. So, yeah. So,
yeah, we're going to get into that. We're in the intro, the old intro, are still there. It's still largely the same. It looked like they touched it up some.
Yeah.
But then, you know, the new ones are kind of seamless. The biggest thing I was wondering if they were going to change the lineup of the villains that square off at the end. Because some of those cats never even made it to the show, to my
mind. Well, what's her name? Is in there now.
Deathstrike and Emma Frost. I don't know if she was in there before, but they had like somebody that looked like Brainchild or somebody who wasn't so, but kind of that was what I was wondering. And then the role of Magneto becomes really ambiguous. Spoiler.
Yeah, and then they do, and Xavier still gets a shout out. Yeah, in the intro, which was like, oh, okay, but okay, you know, I mean, again, if you watch the finale of the 90. Whatever issue or the season 5 finale, series finale, I mean, he's not dead.
Right.
They believe him to be dead, I guess, but he's not dead. He's with the Shi'ar, so there's no chance that he doesn't make a comeback here. So,
that's one of the, you know, the many storylines that are lifted directly out of the books. And mm-hmm. one of the many times that we dispensed with Xavier for a while so that we could actually do something other than be Xavier's team. And, you know, the team always grows when he's gone because he's just such a domineering presence when he's there.
Yep. So, yeah. Right there with the intro, we'll do the little recap here for this. So Xavier is dead, air quotations, and the mutant hysteria hasn't gone away. the fuck out of here, or Friends of Humanity, depending on how you look at it. They're still on the rise. They got Sentinel Tech now. And instead of rescuing Jubilee like they did in the pilot episode of Night of the Sentinels Part 1, we get introduced to, you know, Robert DaCosta, Sunspot, to everybody else. And, you know, you get this fight scene in the rescue of him in there, mostly leading off with, I guess, Bishop and Storm, and then finishing off with Cyclops going to work. So, I mean, it's going to come into it. And then the subplot is Jean is pregnant and her and Scott are like kind of thinking about leaving the X-Men. Okay, so it's on the next slide. So just the highlights for season, the meaningful moments in episode one. Do you want to go off on your boy there, going off on that intro, Cyclops?
I mean,
they redeemed 20 years of bad Cyclops in about 30 seconds.
Yeah, and there was like so much Cyclops and Jean. Like, you know, this obviously the cartoon became the Wolverine show, literally became the Wolverine cartoon. Mm-hmm. The movies became all about Wolverine and Storm, and this like puts the spotlight on Cyclops like there's never been before. It was great. The movie does where he like shoots the floor to spin around, whatever. That was a little video gamey for me, but mm-hmm. like his power level, his innovation, like his fighting, like just the command, his attitude, it was great. This was for anyone, like all the times I've ever said the words like Cyclops is my favorite X-Men, and I get that look. Like this is why Cyclops is my favorite X-Men.
Yeah. I mean, he can fight. His powers are like shooting himself across the floor, you know, using and leaning more into what it's always been with his powers, more of a concussive blast mm-hmm. instead of a laser beam right. strike, you know. So it, in that sense, you're kind of going back to what it actually is. But like, I understand, you know, go ahead.
The other funny part, just from the very beginning, because we've had this prior conversation about how woke this show is. So I'm sitting here like, oh, so the white man is the villain. And the first people we get to see is Sunspot, Bishop, Storm. Yeah. All right, what show is this?
What show is this? Yeah.
Unfortunately, the white savior made it in just under the wire.
Save it for me. But also throwback to that they're using the Friends of Humanity people from the beginning of the show. I was like, oh wait, I know that dude.
And they did not get a character redesign.
No, not at all.
Those 90s jean jackets, ripped off sleeves, and the mullets all around. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought it was like, wow, this is a pretty good introduction. So just to go through some of their the FOH upgrades, you know, not in character design, but you know, they do have Sentinel Tech. Val Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
Makes that introduction there. I don't remember her being in the original show, correct? Or maybe in the X-Force episode. Was she in that? Or not X-Force, X-Factor?
Yeah, I think so. I would have to go back to the lab on that one. Was she, because that was not who the Mystique used, like more of the Raven Darkholm character in like the first season. Mm-hmm. So I think she had to be in it. But yeah, and I think the original voice actress for Jean Grey is doing Val Cooper now.
Oh, okay. Yeah, she's in there. There's a throwback in there, an Easter egg too, you know, when she does meet with Scott after this whole thing, or she's walking on the treadmill. Mm. He's like, when you're done with your cardio or whatever. But that's like when they talk with the president too, when Gyrich meets with the president in the Night of Sentinels or whatever. So I thought that was kind of weird.
But this is... yeah, so she would be taking over for Gyrich, who's in jail.
Yeah, without the bell. The lack of Wolverine, you mentioned it. I'm like, this is good. You don't need to make him the focus. He's going to be there. I'm sure he has a bunch of stories that you can and will tell over time. But the lack of him being there was probably the best thing that they could have done.
Absolutely. And, a very similar reveal. He comes at the, you know, pops up in the danger room in somebody else's battle, much like the last time. You know, his intro in the very first episode was still great, but you know, we've had more than our fill of Wolverine ever since.
More than enough. And so what happens is that Sunspot gets captured. they rescue him, they bring him back to the mansion. We get the, it seems like a new Beast voice. He's like, he's doing a parody of essentially the dude that did Beast or whatever. It seems like it might be the same dude.
I think it's the same guy. And if I have a criticism of this, it feels like the voices, I don't care if they're different, but it seems like they haven't even locked in to some of this.
Well, Rogues is way over the top. Yeah.
Or it's just, I haven't, like, I'm still listening for what it used to be, but it's either me or them or some combination, but I'm not locked in on the voices yet. Like,
yeah,
if they weren't on screen and I heard them, in some cases I wouldn't be sure who it was.
Yeah. I went to MegaCon in February and they had the voice actors from the original show there, Storm, Jean Grey, OG Gambit, Jubilee, Beast. I might be forgetting, and Rogue. And they literally obviously couldn't talk about this, but now they can. You know, the Storm lady is the same lady that was there as well. It didn't sound like Beast, but the Rogue lady, she did the voice there. She was the only one that actually did the voice. But it wasn't so over the top as in this episode. Like, it's way over the top. But anyway, all right. So, yeah, lack of Wolverine. So they rescue him. He winds up escaping out there, and then they have to go, you know, find him again, and it leads to this club scene or whatever. And Jubilee is not annoying in this,
yeah,
which was shocking,
yeah. And the, you know, she becomes the Storm Mammy character to like make peace with the new member, and a lot of parallels from in the first season where they're up on the clock tower and she's explaining, like, you know, her experience coming to the school and what the school is, just like Storm did with Jubilee,
yeah. Yeah, and then they, you know, how do they get the Sentinel tech? So they have to go see Guy Rich. You know, they wind up reading his mind, and they find out that there's, you know, hidden master molds by Trask somewhere else. And then it leads to this massive comic book fight where they wind up flying in the jet out there, and then they get attacked. And then it goes down to Cyclops' landing, bro. I was like, I'm getting goosebumps talking about it right now. And I'm like, you know, before he utters the "to me, my X-Men," you know, and he knows what he's doing. Like, he gives a little smile and nod before he kind of heads down, you know, kind of Captain America style, and, you know, uses his powers to brace for his landing. I mean, as a Cyclops person, you had to be hyped.
Oh, yeah. I mean, because, like, he's like the first one out of the jet, right? And then you could see him start to pair up. And if you're counting in your head, you're like, there's not enough people. And then I was just like, yeah, I know what's coming here.
Yeah. yeah. So I thought that was great, you know, and it was like a perfect spot for, like, the commercial. Like, if it was going to cut to a commercial and be like, hey, you know, here's some Legos or Danimals. And then we'll be back in, you know, 90 seconds. What about Morph's transformations?
When the first one was Archangel, and I was like, where'd he come from? Like, they're going here already? And then I was like, oh, wait, I know what happened.
Yeah. There's a blob one coming up here when they get to that fight, which is their version of doing, you know, kind of like a fastball special, I guess.
Yeah. You know, it's an interesting way to get a lot of these cameos in and callbacks. But if I'm going to take it to the lab, like, historically, the shape changer doesn't acquire the powers of the creature that he changes into. Whereas he might have been able to do some rudimentary gliding as Archangel.
Yeah.
He probably would have suffered severe abdominal damage as Blob. But yeah. So, that's what we're saying is that he can acquire people's powers. So,
yeah, and again,
I guess he's the most powerful mutant. I guess they've only shown physical powers.
You know? And then again, he's, you know, his powers, I mean, again, it's Mimic, but we couldn't call him that. So Changeling. His power set is kind of like,
he's not Mimic, he's the Changeling.
Changeling, yeah, but his power set is a little nebulous, to say the least, in the cartoon, because we really only got him for a couple of episodes.
But better this than just, like, all he could do was, like, do, like, infiltration gags and confuse people. So,
right. You know,
they found a more active way to work him into the action. So,
mm-hmm.
But this scene in general, like, I mean, this is, you know, whether it's I brought it up earlier, the What If show is very much like this, but a lot of the modern comics, when there's a fight, it's just like, you know, hitting hard isn't going to work. Mm-hmm. We're just going to have to hit it harder.
Yeah.
And this was like, you know, people actually finding interesting ways to use their abilities without like going early 80s and explaining every, Marvel 1960 explaining everything that's going on.
Yeah.
So like in particular, Beast hot wiring a Sentinel, you know, the power combos, it was a fight or an action sequence with meaningful action where the characters came through also. It was great.
And it's a time to throw in, you know, the animation is obviously better because we're so many years more in terms of the future. And
they have so much more money to spend on it, probably.
Yes, that, yeah, that, and you know, but it's not like the static action that you got in the original series. So, like, it obviously it looks a lot better. Omega Mutant Detective. That was a hype moment too.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, that is something that, you know, the online discourse about Storm and her handling in really across a lot of media, specifically the movies, I think, you know, where everybody loves Halle Berry, the person, character, beauty, but she didn't really bring anything to that particular role. And then, you know, her powers in the movies were, you know, always lightning, you know, a little bit of wind, but that's pretty much it. And then, you know, it got even worse in the second parts of those movies with what Alexandra's ship, and it just got bad. So to give her due in this moment, one, acknowledging that she's an Omega level mutant, and two, her intro to come in here and just, you know, freaking create a ice sandstorm or whatever and lift all those Sentinels out. You know, what was Cyclops's line? What's the forecast? I mean, you know, they give her the, you know, the look at the feet entrance, even though you know who it is. I was just like, oh, okay, you've established that. And in light of what happens in episode two, it tells you how much of a big deal it is to have her not be powerful, you know, kind of moving forward.
Yeah, it was like the great part of it was like for all the Sentinel ass they kicked over the first, you know, series of that sequence, then to like take it up another level, just, oh, and by the way, we also have Storm. That was awesome.
Yeah, I thought that was a pretty amazing reintroduction. We haven't talked about it or whatever, and I'm hoping they explain, like, Bishop being added to the team, but not adding anything to the team. This is kind of weird. You know, hopefully they give him a little bit more of a story here.
Yeah, they make one, like, offhand reference to the tech, the little armband that kept him there. Yeah. But, yeah, he was definitely not the biggest part of this show yet.
No, not at all. But it's
the,
fine.
The along the lines of Storm, like, throughout this, I was like, and maybe you'll get into this in the second one, but I was like, why is Jean Grey still talking? Like, she had like more to do. Even counting the Phoenix, Dark Phoenix friends, I think she had more to do in these two episodes than the entire first series. But I think they also like captured the sister like relationship between
the sisterhood,
Jean and Storm,
right?
In a way that was ignored. Yeah, they probably sit, you know, they would say, "You're my sister," something like that in the first series, but like you didn't feel it. And and again, like those sorts of things make the second episode better.
Yeah, I thought that part was great. And then they obviously defeat the Sentinels. They get back. Scott and Jean are about to announce that they are going to leave the team. After Sunspot gives us only a little bit of arm of his show powers, you know, before he takes off. And they did. That Sunspot's a whole nother conversation too. Again, New Mutants suck, but he's probably has the best power set of anybody in there, maybe outside of Cannonball. And, you know, he's kind of been presented as, you know, kind of like Brazilian dickhead Johnny Storm. You know, he's kind of rich, not kind of rich. He's rich. He's kind of a jerk, and that's fine. And I thought they captured that fairly well there, you know, but, you know, they gave him the intro and then they let him go, hoping to return. But he goes off after speaking with Jubilee, and then, you know, a detection in Xavier's study, they all head out there, and then Magneto's back, and, you know, Charles left everything into him in his wheel, and, you know, to me, my X-Men, you know, as Magneto. I thought a fairly good cliffhanger ending. And I did read somewhere online that these all end on cliffhangers, which I was like, you could be setting yourself up for, you know, you got to keep topping yourself. And but I thought they did really well.
Even in the first series, well, I guess the earlier seasons, there was usually a tease of something, like particularly season two, where there was the meta arc that ran through it. They were always teasing because they told the majority of the Savage Land story as like the bumpers for the regular story.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay. You know, whenever they remember they teased Juggernaut, you know, they flew back from Genosha and Juggernaut and destroyed. So I don't think that's out of the ordinary.
Okay. So yeah. So the reintroduction of Magneto, and then that's the end of episode one.
I thought they had already brokered that in the last episode of the previous series.
The series finale.
Yeah, that he was going to be with them or whatever, but they kind of made it more dramatic.
But to be fair, who the hell watched that shit?
Nobody.
I don't think anybody really watched much X-Men after the Phoenix Saga. So
no, there's some like the season four stuff. They were doing stories that you might know, but they had to like mix up the characters and it was always kind of weird. And then they would throw in some like made up stuff just for the background. It was always confusing. But season five was trash.
Yeah. I guess we didn't talk about Gambit's lack of whatever. A lot of the online discourse is about, you know, he's woke and gay now because he wore a halter top.
Like, isn't that literal? Didn't he like wear that in X-Men like number one? Like, yeah, I mean, that's.
Yes, it makes no sense. Something that we talked about with Disney Plus, at least in the MCU stuff, is about them sticking the landings on these things. Like, man, it was a pretty good show, but the ending kind of sucked. Whatever. Now, this is an animation, it's a cartoon, and it has already a built-in fan base. But like I said at the beginning, they could have really messed this up.
Oh yeah.
And there was, you know, there was the, you know, the I guess showrunner of this thing. He gets shit canned 3 or 4 days before it premieres. And so you had to like, man, you know, it crept into my head. I was like, man, that's not great. But whatever he did to get himself fired outside of this, you know, allegedly they got 2 seasons in the can of him being the showrunner on it. So if this is any indication, well done, sir. No matter, whatever you did to get fired, but well done. So, all right, let's get in episode two. Our plot, Magneto is in charge. I sent this to y'all yesterday. Okay, so if you've been rocking with us for a while, just go in the archives because we got all this covered for you for this podcast. Like, oh, Magneto's on trial? Word? Yeah, just go read Uncanny X-Men 200 or listen to our podcast where we recap Uncanny X-Men 200. Oh, Storm lost her powers? Oh, life, death? Word? Yeah, we got you covered on that too. Just go in the archives and look up for the comics. Life, death. We got that covered. Yeah, and what's going to happen in 201, unfortunately, which is probably going to happen on this show for Brother Beavis, we also have that recovered.
Did we do Inferno? I can't remember.
Oh, yes, we did.
Okay,
yes.
So we totally did
that, as well as the re-Inferno that came out, maybe a year and a half ago. So, yeah, we got it all covered. There's a whole bit I had to look for about me and freaking... Oh God, what's her Goblin Queen cosplay? There's a whole bit. So anyway, all right. So Magneto is in charge. He gets, you know, the UN pulls him because he's gonna go on trial for all the things that he has done, and it culminates with this big battle at the UN, and we get a surprise appearance at the end. What do you think of the reintroduction of Magneto, the character? The costume sucks. We ran it down on that same podcast, but it is comic book accurate, as people like to say. It is comic book accurate.
Yeah, I mean that's I can give it a pass in that regard because, you know, it was definitely a choice. But you know, they've rendered it. His like face in his head is weird to me. That's what's got me. Like, I can't look at his face.
I noticed this during the show, and then when I was pulling the pictures, I was looking for this one specifically. Like, he has this little M in his hair. So instead of having the helmet on, you know,
it's like it a has tabby cat. Little,
yeah, yeah. So, but whatever. So him coming into the house obviously makes things complicated. Scott is bothered, as you would imagine that he would be, as one of the oldest X-Men there, or longest foe or whatever. Storm is a little bit more willing to give him a chance. You know, I mean, it's really kind of how it played out in the comic book as well. You know, Bishop, what's his line? It was like, a future where Magneto leading the X-Men? I didn't see that one. So, yeah. But obviously the big subplot of that is Rogue is, they tease the Savage Land romance between Magneto and Rogue.
Yeah. And I was trying to remember, and I think I've convinced myself they didn't do this, but they had an arc in the Savage Land where everyone was depowered. But at that point, I think it was just Rogue, like, you know, she was powerless and Gambit was there for her. I don't think she had any positive interaction with Magneto. So they're going completely off the screen to try and suggest that there's some past history here.
Yeah. And, you know, and they do have a scene where they talk together where Gambit overhears and, you know, another
soul in his feels.
Yeah. Anyway, he drops the Queen of Hearts as well. That was the card that he dropped. Yeah. Whatever. Anyway. So, yeah, that's basically our plot, that we're just trying to get to this trial at the UN.
Hold on a second. And the irony is, the story kind of went in reverse. Like, it was Gambit that had the dark past, that when it came out, she dumped him.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
I wonder if they're going to, they might go full WB on this and do like breakup. You're the villain this time, the entire 10 episodes.
Sir, don't do that. Just don't. All right, let's look at some highlights here from episode 2. The Morlocks reappear. Please don't hurt
Leech.
Yeah, please don't hurt Leech. So they appear. Magneto does the save from the back, and, you know, runs the, you know, Friends of Humanity again. You know, which I thought was pretty cool. The costume, the sister moment that we missed with Jean and Aurora. You know, again, something that is not even touched on in the movies about how close they were, and then only kind of sort of maybe, but in those early X-Men books, they were very, very close. And it just kind of got shortchanged. The Rogue and Magneto tease. Okay. So we'll come back to the Insurrection. Did we do the Executioner books?
The Executioner song.
We did Executioner song.
Well, no, the Executioner song isn't about the Executioner.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But we did that. But did we do books with the Executioner? I don't think so.
So his origin was in an annual. Okay. And I don't know. I think he crossed over into the Legacy Virus story, which the less said about that, the better. Yeah. I don't think he was ever particularly prominent in anything.
Okay. Well, yeah. So, yeah, he is our villain here. And they're kind of mixing things across here where he's going to actually have, you know, Forge's essential weapon that, you know, mistakenly took Storm's powers. But we'll get to that in a second. Okay, so we talked about this. And again, okay, so for the people that YouTube this stuff instead of listening to it on a pod. So the last thing that we did about the X-Men, about the preview for this, we had talked about the X-Men being, you know, it's woke because people were so upset about Morph being non-binary. And exceeding numbers of listens that we normally get. And like a bunch of comments too about people commenting about this. Okay. Couple things. The comic books have always been woke. Two, if you're siding with the Executioner in this, you are the bad guy. I hope you understand that. He gave a speech when he's fighting Cyclops that every marginalized minority person has ever heard. It's like, you know, one of the reasons I hate y'all is because y'all be whining so much. We get hated too. We just don't whine about it. We got the sense to not whine about it. So, yeah. So the trial of Magneto culminates with him having a trial, with people protesting the fact that he's actually getting a trial. And lo and behold, they're going to come after the judges that are giving him the trial too, and the UN, because they're being fair to him. And it leads to a whole insurrection, which they name drop at the near the end of the episode. And it was January 6th, literally, without superpowers.
Yeah.
And leaning into that has created another online discourse. And it's like, well, y'all shouldn't be putting like modern politics in this. Like, hello. This is literally the story that is currently playing out right now, or yeah. did. And it's the same thing. It's like, hey, a group of people we feel don't deserve anything. It's not even equality. Y'all want no equity. It's none of that. Yeah.
You can talk about racism because we fixed that in the 60s.
Yes. But yeah.
You got to wait 60 years before you can talk about yes. insurrection.
Oh. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Racism ended when Obama was elected.
Yeah.
Boy. Yeah. So, again, keeping it in the comic book realm. It was a very good, you know, kind of scene. It's kind of little another throwback to, it's more of episode one or two, I can't remember episode one or two, where Beast winds up getting captured in the original series, mm-hmm. you know, where they storm the courtroom during his trial. So yeah. I was like, oh,
that's
okay.
That's a protest and the police deal with that shit like that.
Yes.
There wasn't an insurrection. That insurrection was put down.
Yeah, you have to wonder about what's on the cutting room floor with the animation. Like, did somebody wheel out a gallow to, like, try to hang on the shit? I'm like, oh, this is a Disney Plus, sir. We can't show that on here. So, yeah, it's a whole insurrection. Magneto is in the process of squashing it. I did not like the idea fully. It's like there's this whole fight going on for the soul of whatever. Like, oh, yeah, Jean's pregnant and having a baby. Fly Cyclops out of here. Wait, what? I mean, I understand the plot point. Like, I get that part, but it was just kind of weird. And yeah, Wolverine.
They seem to be trying to fit a lot in here. I mean, they have, there's a solid like 10 or 12 storylines they're laying the foundation for. So they're I know you had a fight schedule and all, but we kind of got to get this baby thing going.
Yeah, we got to get to that part. So Rogue flies him out, and Wolverine is essentially great, like in this, because he has no line except, you know, oh, it's coming. Who? Apocalypse? I about died. Oh, it was like, she's like the baby. So, yeah, he takes her off. You know, the doctor's like, I'm not, you know, giving, you know, they won't birth a mutant baby or whatever.
That was a little like, I feel like had they not done a walkthrough at this point, they didn't have the hospital like.
Yeah,
like, and tell me there's not a Shi'ar birthing machine in the mansion already.
In there. Just,
you know.
Yeah,
or Beast that couldn't understood. Do it. Like, Beef, come on.
Yeah. It was weird. So Cyclops goes back there while that's going on. So it leaves Magneto and Storm to fight off the Horde, essentially. And, you know, the Executioner comes in after he dispatches of Cyclops in their fight. You know, he has his weapon. He's supposed to be shooting at Magneto. Storm jumps in the front. And, you know, he loses her powers. You know, there's a scene later on where, you know, Beast tells her it appears to be permanent. You know, we need some more tests, but yeah, it appears to be permanent. And that was a moment where she loses her powers. And again, tagged on to the end of the first episode, you know, where you saw how powerful she was, you know, it made it a moment.
Yeah, inconsistent with the comic, like she jumped in front of Rogue, who was being targeted for having just been one of the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants, having depowered Miss Marvel, you know, and she took that shot too that was never intended for her, and so
yeah, I mean, again, comic accurate. I kind of wonder why, because when she loses her powers, she had already done Punk Rock Storm.
Mm-hmm.
So she has Punk Rock Storm haircut here already, but you know, one of the things that after she, you know, loses her power and she becomes so, you know, more focused on, you know, hand-to-hand combat and all those types of things and her knife play and all of that, which I'm sure we won't see in this, but like, you know, it was just kind of like, oh, you know, we could have had the transformation where she goes cut the hair and goes that route, but that's fine. Yeah, so she loses her power. We get baby Nathan being born, which was, you know, oh, okay. And again, playing off the old series, you know, we already know that Cable makes his way back into this thing. You know, he was in the earlier series or whatever. And although it's not really acknowledged here, but there's that. And then we have the reveal at the end. You know, there's a knock on the door or whatever. And it's like, hey, I need the X-Men. And it's Jean. So now we know that one of them is Madeline Pryor. One of them is the clone. I'm assuming the one that's in the house that had the baby is the clone.
Yeah.
But now we don't know how Jean, you know, well, again, that's what I was saying. So in the intro of episode 2, when they get to the fight things there, there's a Dark Phoenix reveal in the intro. Like, if you go back and watch it, there's a Dark Phoenix, you know, like, tag in there. And it's like, oh, so do they play off the story from the comic book, you know, where, you know, took the Phoenix effect or did something to that effect? And, you know, I mean,
I would think it's more likely they go the Sinister route, and because he was trying to get that genetic material, son, for most of the first series. I would assume that somewhere along the way he created the clone and replaced Jean, but who knows?
But where's Jean been all that time? Yeah.
Yeah.
She's been with the Fantastic Four all pop.
Yeah.
It's an easy way to introduce them in at this point. You know, like if she had showed up with Reed, I would have popped.
But if I recall, isn't that kind of how Madeline shows up at the mansion? Is that not? No, she's. Yeah, she.
They meet Madeline at Wolverine's aborted wedding.
Oh.
Like that's the first time they ever meet Madeline.
Okay.
You know, like 170, whatever, because the whole fake Phoenix thing is like 175. But yeah, and that's how it is. Episode 2, what was you thinking on episode 2?
You know, it became, I kind of watched them back to back, so it became just like one giant show. And like I said, there was just, they packed so much into it. I thought, you know, it's the characters, the show based on the characterization, the relationships, and the deep storytelling, the, you know, the Claremont-esque reveals of just the tip of the iceberg of a story that's coming. Mm-hmm. It's everything you would want and expect from an X-Men show. And why the X-Men are, I think, you know, the premier Marvel property.
Yeah.
Period.
Yep. And again, we've talked about it. Nobody cared about the Avengers until the MCU got it. People really cared about the X-Men.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to hope that they take that same kind of care with they did with the Avengers, with the X-Men moving forward. You know, it's been time. You know, they've had the Fox properties for whatever else. It's been time that they should have done something besides this with it. But also, it's okay. I think there was a time that needed to be in between to let the stink die from those Fox movies, because there's a stink. And I think, you know, allowing, you know, this to breathe and using this as your introduction into that, well done.
Yeah.
You know, well done. I saw something this morning. It was like, oh, somebody was like, oh, yeah, X-Men 97, already a top 5 animated show of all time. I'm like, could we not do that, bro? Could we not? It's 2 episodes.
Yeah.
The top 5 animated thing, that's a debate or whatever. But could we not do that? Like, don't do that. How about this? It's better than season 5 of the original series. We can say that at this point. But beyond that, come on, son. But yeah. So I'm looking forward to it. I'll be excited.
So let's do a direct comparison then. Night of the Sentinels versus these two.
Because of the extended animation that's so much better, I would lean in that direction. But I would also say you get points for originality.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, you were the first ones to do it. It's kind of like the Star Wars versus the reboot that was essentially just Star Wars. It's like, yeah, that movie looks better, feels better, it's acted better. Like, all of that is good, but you got to go, you know, the original was something and you get the points for it. So I would probably lean in the old direction, but only out of because they, you know, they should get some points for being the first ones to do it.
Yeah. What do you think? I think that's fair. I mean, I think the other main difference is, you know, they teased some things in Night of the Sentinels, but it was largely a two-part story, the introduction of Jubilee and the Sentinels and a lot of the groundwork, you know, the character-by-character reveal. I think that, you know, it was probably a lot harder to land Night of the Sentinels, you know, cold without, you know, with just Pride of the X-Men before that, yes. Right?
Right.
So I think also like this show owes a lot to that as well and can do more because of it. So
yeah,
but I remember how hyped I was for that Night of the Sentinels and then waiting for the second part to come out.
Yeah.
I can't wait till Wednesday, you know, at this point. So we can set aside the quality of the series relative to other series, but in terms of a you know, the intro, like I cannot wait to watch more of this.
Yeah, I don't think you could have done better. Like honestly, you hit every nostalgia point. You hit the comic book part. You put the fan service part. Like, I mean, you hit every single bit. The opposite side of that would be if you continue to try to do that to not make this series its own. And you're really just repeating beats. Like that's where it could get a little bit goofy.
Mm-hmm.
But more than that or over that, I think if you laid the groundwork based on that and then you go with these stories moving forward. And again, Inferno is a difficult spot. Are you really going to put Madeline Pryor in that fit on Disney Plus? I mean, within reason, obviously, they're not going to go the whole route there. But are we going to be doing demons and devils and all of that stuff and sorcery on Disney Plus? Again, who's the show for? 30-somethings or 12-year-olds?
Yeah.
And you have to, you know, how do you walk that line and tell that particular story without watering it down too much? But it would seem that they're trying to lean into it. And so I'm willing to give them, you know, a little bit of a pass on that if they try to water it down some, but you can't go too far with it. But
we'll find out a lot next week.
Yes. Again, I think, like I said at the beginning when we started this, I think we're fair. Like, I really do. Like I said, we do crap on some things probably excessively at some points. But when things are good and they're legitimately good, even if we didn't want it, expect it, or anything like that, we give it its props. This gets all the props.
Yeah. Go back to that Infinity War recap.
Yes. Exactly.
Marks.
Yes. Yes. we were wrong. Yes. This is going to be a 1 hour circle jerk of Infinity War. So, yeah. That's all I'm saying. All right, y'all. So
the other thing too is like, so obviously they can't make a movie. They can't fit in a movie at this point, and I don't even know if it's on the docket. And they've canceled stuff and stretched out the schedule for good reason. So, you know, if this runs for the 3 years, does that get us back into, you know, 2 or 3 years? Does that get us back into the conversation of is there a movie? And then what is the relationship between this cartoon and that movie?
Right.
And on the one hand, this is a great, you know, way to transition into that. On the other hand, like we said before this aired, like they're getting down to the bottom of the barrel of stories they can pull out. Right. So have they already done every X-Men thing you ever could do, short of like getting into some of the modern stuff, which is hit or miss and not necessarily aligned with these characters or the characterization of these characters. But, you know, what does that look like in a few years? You know, presuming we get to, well, they've showed them now as the teaser. So, you know, we're going to get a live action X-Men movie again. So what is the relationship between this show and that?
Right. Well, a different version of that same conversation. So when the X-Men movies come out, a lot of people's primary basis was the cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a lot of the characterization in the movies were based on the cartoon too. You know, of the people that wind up in there, you know, Scott, Lil Milktoast, Gene, whatever, Storm. Hey, sorry, cat trying to eat somebody's cereal. So like, you know what I mean? Like, I think like that was like, well, let's kind of stick it in this and, you know, let people kind of, you know, go from there, you know, to kind of do that. And I think with this show, maybe you don't want to do that. You know, or as you've always said, just let this exist in its own universe, mm-hmm. and you know, you can tell stories out of it. You know, like they're interconnected. This could be on Earth, freaking 1820, mm-hmm. whereas the characters are on, you know, 616. You know what I mean? Like it, they can still exist in the same world. You know, without, you know, getting too overly complicated, or they don't. Like, this is a cartoon. We don't really talk about it other than it being a cartoon. You know. Like, nobody's referencing Earth's Mightiest Heroes, you know, in the MCU cartoons, even though they kind of lifted stories from there, too. So, anyway. Good stuff, y'all. Good stuff, Disney. Y'all really could have messed this up, and you didn't. there might be damn Disney about whatever game y'all was talking about the other day, but it ain't certainly about this show. So, I'll be curious to what Hutch thinks, when and if he ever sees it, since he... It was kind of downgrading the original show there for a bit.
That's generous.
Yeah. I'm being kind. So I'm kind of curious as to how he will feel about this. I can't imagine that he would dislike it, but he's weird. So, but yeah.
He has a lot of, he has much hate in his heart. So, yes, you know,
for Disney. Yeah. So, but we will be back. We will recap these as they come. This is, how many episodes is this season?
10 is what I
heard. Okay, so we got 8 more to go.
We should have prepped. They have the episode titles out. We should have prepped that for this.
Oh, I mean, can you pull it? I mean, let's see.
Let's see.
Who can pull it first? Nooch.
Dutch Rudder.
Yes, exactly. Oh, here we go. I think I got it. Season 1, season 2. No, wait. They always get, I don't know if you, well, whatever, if you've been pulling these things and it keeps giving you stuff, X-Men the Animated Series from the original.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I put something in, and yeah, okay,
episode. I thought there. Like AI was supposed to make this shit work.
Yeah, no. All right, here we go. Episode list. To Me, My X-Men, Mutant Liberation, Fire Made Flesh is episode 3.
All right, so that's definitely Phoenix-y.
Yeah. For Life, Death, Part 1.
Motendo is Mojo. Ugh.
And Life, yeah. Death,
so that's Part Motendo 1. Is a Mojo story again.
Ugh.
Remember it. I don't know what that is.
Mm. Yeah.
Other than...
Genosha.
The name is the X-Men. Remember it.
Remember it. Life, Death, Part 2. They're
splitting up Life, Death.
Mm.
Bright Eyes.
Bright Eyes. Okay.
And then the three
Tolerance
finale.
Is Extinction. 3 parts. Mm. Yeah. Okay. Again, if you've been rocking with us for a while, I will just post all of the links to all these comic books that we recap. Because we recap so many of these to talk about if you want a comic book background for what they are. And again, if you've never listened to us before, we look back at the books reverently, but also take the piss out of them. Reverently. You know, we look back and it's like, yeah, that was really cool. But if there's parts of it that weren't, we also say that. So again, we're fair. I will stand on that ground forever. Again, I know I've joked on here a lot about, hey, if y'all DC, you want to pay us off to tell us that all your shit is good, we will gladly take all the money and be like, you know what? Flash, greatest movie of all time. The only movie that's not as good as Flash is Black Adam. We take all the money to talk and lie.
Shazam 2, way better than the original.
Yes, exactly. Electric Boogaloo, Shazam, man, amazing. But I think we're fair in the sense that if you listen to us, we won't lie about like any of this stuff. Because if this had been bad, we would have run it to shit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We would have ran it into the ground and you would have heard us disappointed for 54 minutes and 25 seconds at this point. We would have. And I think if nothing else, that should probably be, you know, something that, you know, if you're people that listen to us or whatever, like, I hope y'all understand that we're not gonna bullshit you.
Though we are the Marvel Hacks.
We are the Marvel Hacks, yes. Well, but we expect more from them. That's basically how I see it, you know. We expect you to do a little something. All right, y'all. So we're going to conclude this. We'll be back with a recap of that. Episode 3 at some point in time after it airs. And, you know, I don't know, man. Wednesdays, you got AEW and X-Men. You got to make a choice between.
I think I've already made that choice.
Yeah. Speaking of things that suck. Anyway, all right. So there's the X-Men animated suit. Music plays us out on not the Taylor version, the OG version. As it plays us out on the podcast side, I'm going to sign it off. Go ahead and sign off. Peace, everybody.